Silasi the Son. God's love shines down upon his child, the overshadowed.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This evening, I want to talk to you about something that I struggle with sometimes. This evening, I want to talk about how will we react when God speaks to us. All throughout the Bible, God spoke to people. God spoke to Noah, and Noah did what? Noah built an ark. God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, and it gave Joshua enough courage to be able to go and fight and help conquer the land of Palestine. He spoke to Jonah, and we all know what Jonah did. He ran from what God wanted him to do. All people throughout the Bible, either they embraced what God wanted them to do, or they ran away from it. But tonight in Luke, the angel Gabriel is given two messages by God to deliver to two people. Before we get into the outline, I'm going to discuss who the two people are. The first one is Zacharias, and the other is Mary. Now, Zacharias was a priest, and he was right now at this time in the city of Jerusalem at the temple, actually performing his priestly duties when the angel visits him. And he is not just any priest. If you look in your Bible at Luke chapter 1, he is actually in Luke chapter 1, verse number 6. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all their commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." So, this man here, Zacharias, him and his wife were righteous people. Now, when we think about it, these are the priests. These are the same, he was part of the same priesthood, same religious leaders that later killed Jesus. He was a part of some wicked people that worked with him. But this man right here, God said was righteous. He was not only righteous though, but if you look there, it says, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. He did everything. The way he lived his life, he was blameless toward God. That's not to say he didn't sin, but he lived a life that pleased God. He followed all of God's commandments. He even followed God's commandments on who he married. He married a Levite, if you read in verse number 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. Wait a second. Sorry. Verse number 5. Therefore, in the days of the Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. The Bible commanded the priests to marry other people from the tribe of Levi, so they could keep a perfectly Levitical tribe. They could keep a nice priest, pure priesthood line. He wouldn't mess with the other tribes. And he even followed God to a T, even with who he was supposed to marry. And now we transition to Mary. Mary was a girl. Most likely she was poor because she was living by herself. She was a spouse to a man named Joseph. But the Bible says something about her. She was well-favored. God favored her. God loved her. She was obviously a person that God could trust and that God liked and that she did things for God because God favored her. But now we look here, and these two people right here, Zacharias and Mary, the angel visits both of them, but they both respond in two different ways. Let's look at the first one, Zacharias' response to God's voice. And start reading in verse number 11. "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So, the angel comes and tells him something that he has been praying for a long time. Him and his wife had no kids, and they had been praying for a long time that they could have a child. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him, you're going to have a kid. But not just any kid. His kid is going to grow up to be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He ran, he went and prepared the way. He softened the hearts of people for when Jesus came. And he was going to have an extraordinary child. It says that he's going to have the power of Elijah. He's going to have like the power of Elijah. His son is later going to be called by Jesus the greatest man born of woman. So his son was not going to be an ordinary son. So let's see how Zacharias responded to the angel. In verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. In verse 18 here, Zacharias does something. He asks the angel a question. But his question was asked with doubt. Zacharias right here doubted the angel. Zacharias right here should have been excited. God was answering his prayer. God sent some heavenly angelic creature to come down to him and speak to him and tell him he was having a child. And he asked, whereby shall I know this? For I am old and my wife well stricken in years. He asked the question, whereby shall I know this? His question right here is asking as if to prove that, ask the angel, hey, how do I know you're really from God? And this, I got a question. How many times do we pray to God? Maybe for years, or weeks, months, years, any amount of time. And then God actually speaks to us. And then we say, oh, was that really God's voice? Did I really hear God's voice, or is that just my mind? You've been praying for God's will in your life. You've been praying for months for God's will in your life. And God finally tells you what he wants you to do. But then it pops up in your brain. Oh, is that really what God wants me to do? I'm not sure if that's just me thinking, my human thinking, or is it really God who's speaking to me? Zacharias right here, he doubted what the angel was saying. And we see this in verse number 20. Let's read verse 19 first. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So right here the angel even says it, because thou believest not my words. Zacharias got a visit from an angelic being, and you know what? He didn't believe the words of the angel. God visited Zacharias through this angel, and he didn't believe him. How many times does God speak to our hearts about something that we really want an answer for? We really are asking questions about. And God talks to us, but then we question it. We think, oh, that couldn't be God. That couldn't be God that was talking to us. Zacharias knew that God had all power. Zacharias knew that his age didn't matter. Zacharias knew about the story of Abraham and Sarah, because that was basically the father of their nation, was Abraham. He knew that Abraham and Sarah had a kid when Abraham was 100 and his wife Sarah was 90 years old. He knew the story about Hannah having Samuel. He knew the story about Samson's parents. They were all barren. He knew these stories in the Bible. But right here, he doubts that him and his wife can have a baby because they haven't had it before. Right here, Zacharias believes that God can work the impossible in other people's lives. He believes that, yes, Abraham could have the child. Yes, Abraham walked with God. God had a child. Abraham had a child. Hannah had a child. All these other people that couldn't have children, God gave them children. But then Zacharias couldn't believe that God could work the impossible in his life and give him a child. How many times has it happened to us? We believe that God can do things in other people's lives. But then we're praying to God, we're asking God to use us. We're asking God to help us. And we see God using other people. And we're praying, oh God, can you use me like you're using this person? Oh, can you help me become more of a witness like this person? And then God gives us an opportunity to do it. And we think, oh, I don't think that's God really speaking. That's just me thinking. That's not the way I should do it. That I don't think I should do it this way. Thoughts of doubt pop up in our mind because we're human. Humans naturally want to second guess things, especially things that are impossible. Abraham asked a question about how in the world he was going to have it, and it prolonged Isaac's birth a couple more years. God does the impossible, but we sometimes forget it. And we see right here, because of his doubt, because of what happened, we read in verse 20 what the angel does to him. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and shalt not be able to speak. So The angel of the Lord, the angel Gabriel, he told Zacharias he was not going to be able to speak. And then we see right here how long it's going to be. Until the day that these things shall be performed. Until his son comes, he is not going to be able to talk. Now that's 9 months. That's how long the pregnancy stage would take. He is not going to talk for 9 months. But now think about it. Zacharias asked a question, whereby shall I know these things? He was asking for a sign. He was asking God to prove that he had the power to do what he was doing. And you look what he got. He got his answer. You know the saying, be careful what you wish for. He wished for a sign and God gave him a sign. Hey, I'm going to show you some of my power. You're not going to be able to talk for 9 months. I mean, think about it. People have gone dumb before. People have been able to stop talking. People, like you're hearing, you lose your hearing. But after he goes completely dumb, after 9 months, imagine it, then he's going to be able to talk again. That had never happened before. You don't see in the Bible where that has ever happened before. But he had a punishment here. Zacharias, not being able to speak for 9 months is a punishment. I mean, I would hate to have not be able to speak for 9 months. I mean, there'd be so much stuff I'd really want to say. I mean, and all of a sudden you go to talk and it's no words come out. No noise, no nothing. You just can't talk. He had that punishment because he doubted what God had said. He doubted that God could do the impossible in his life. He doubted that God could give him a child. The angel says it in verse 20, because thou believest not my words. He didn't believe what the angel was saying in his life. And this goes to show us, when we doubt God's word, when God tells us to do something and we don't do it, there is consequences. Maybe what it is like what it says later in the Bible about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts our lives, and after we ignore it for a while, our conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. If he doubts the angel here, he keeps on doubting, he's going to have a problem here later on, just like with us. If God tells us, God speaks to our heart, hey, I want you to go witness to that person. Oh, I don't think that's God speaking to me. Well, after a while, we're not going to want to witness, period, because every time we have that pop up in our mind, it's going to be like, oh, is that God really speaking to me, or is that just me thinking? And Zacharias right here, he was punished for it. Just like if we don't do things that God wants us to, he's going to punish us. Abraham, he backed up. Isaac was going to be born sooner, but because he doubted, his son's birth got pushed back a little farther. And right here, Zacharias was a just man. He was a devout man. We actually see in other places, other people have asked questions of doubt. Other people have asked God to prove their power, like Gideon. Remember Gideon put out the fleece? Gideon put out the fleece not just once, but twice to prove God's power. But Zacharias right here, he asked a question, and all of a sudden God struck him dumb. Why? Well, we read earlier, Zacharias was a righteous man. Zacharias was a man who was great, who was walking in all the ways of God, all the commandments, everything in the Levitical code, everything. Zacharias was doing it to a T. God knew Zacharias knew not to doubt him. Zacharias should have had faith. Zacharias was old. I mean, if he was past the way for where his wife and him could not have a child, he was old. He had seen God work probably in his life. He had seen things that should have built his faith. But when the angel came and the angel was talking to him about what seemed like the impossible, he doubted. And God punished him because he should have known better. He should have known not to doubt God. He should have known that he shouldn't have done it. And then we move on. Later in this chapter, we see him. He's like that. And then he's all that way, all the way to where his son is born. And let's move on to Mary's response to the angel. Mary's response to God's voice. And in the sixth month, in verse 26, Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now right here, we see a big difference. The angel just visited 6 months before a priest, someone who was high up, in what is considered the holy city, Jerusalem, and in the holiest place in Jerusalem, in the temple. Now the angel's going into a little town of Nazareth to a girl, Mary, who was a virgin, espoused to a man named Joseph. And then we read on verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And we'll keep on reading verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And look in verse 38 to Mary's reaction here. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary had a response of submission. Now, this chapter confuses a lot of people because Zacharias asked a question, and you see him, he's struck dumb. Mary asks a question here, and nothing happens to her. But you got to look at the basis of their questions. Zacharias, the angel even says it, was a question of unbelief, of doubt. He was asking God to kind of prove that it was him talking to him. Mary right here is asking for understanding. I mean, think about it. Other people have had sons who were born from barren women, like Sarah and Hannah and Samson's mom. But nobody else has ever had what happened to Mary. She didn't fully understand how in the world she could have a baby when she had not known a man. And right here, the angel explains just a little bit of what was going to happen. I mean, think about it. Do you really think Mary understood fully what the angel said in verse 35 of about Jesus, that the Holy Ghost was actually going to come inside of her, and that the power of God was going to overshadow her? Do you think she really fully understood it? I don't think so, because nowadays we can't understand how in the world the Holy Ghost actually went inside of her, and that was how it conceived, and that's how Jesus was put inside of her. But imagine how many more questions Mary must have had after the angel explained that to her. But you see, Mary, she doesn't ask any more questions. She submits to God's voice. She submits to what the angel says. And the angel Gabriel sees this. He visits her. He goes and he tells her this message. And you see what she says in verse 38. Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. She told God, whatever you want. Do to me what you want to do. She believed that God had her best interest in mind. And you notice here, she did ask a question for knowledge, but the angel sensed that she was there, that she was going to do it. So the angel gave her two more proofs that this was God speaking to her. She told her about Elizabeth, and she told her that God can do everything. In verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The angel reminded her of God's power. The angel reminded her of other things. In this, Mary was going to submit to God. She was ready. The angel knew what she was probably thinking right here. The guy was probably helping him. They were working together here. And the angel here helped solidify what was going to be Mary's faith. Mary's response was submission. How many times does God speak to us? And we have that choice. Do we submit to what he wants us to do? Do we go and talk to somebody? Do we give that little bit extra in our tithe that you know God wants us to get, that you know God wants you to give? Do we help out a little extra here even though you know you have to do something else at home? Do we rearrange our schedules? Do we work a certain way and submit to what God wants us to do? Or do we doubt it's from him? That's the big difference here. You see, Mary, she submitted to what God wanted her to do. Yes, she did ask a question. She asked a question, though, because she didn't understand. Zacharias knew what was going to happen. Zacharias had walked with God. He knew what God wanted. But Mary right here didn't understand anything. And you see, the angel doesn't rebuke Mary. The angel doesn't say Mary had unbelief like he did Zacharias. So it shows here that God doesn't mind if we ask him questions, but we need to ask him for the right reasons as well. But we see right here, after you see Mary's submission, you see what Mary does next in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So as soon as Mary heard the angel left her, she went with haste. She went fast to go see the proof that the angel had told her about. She wanted to go see Elizabeth. You know why? Because Elizabeth was having a baby. What was considered impossible was having to Elizabeth. And Mary wanted to see if it was true. So she went there. She submitted to what God wanted her to do. And then she went there. And you see right here in verse number 41, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as thy voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told from her." So Elizabeth right here confirms everything the angel had just told Mary. She reiterates what God had just told her in saying that her womb, it was going to be blessed. He was going to be a great person. You see what Mary does. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." In verses 46 to 56, Mary sings a song of praise to God. Mary submitted to God. Mary did what God wanted her to do. And you see her at the end of the not all the way at the end of the chapter, but verse 46 to 56, she's singing. She has joy in her heart because she knows that God has all power. She now understands that God is going to do exactly everything she's going to do. Even though she doesn't understand what's going to happen, even though she doesn't fully grasp everything, she understands that God's in control, that God has the power to do anything and everything. And she starts singing. She has joy. This shows us when we submit to God, when we follow what God wants us to do, when we do what God wants us to do, we have joy. Zacharias, if you read right here, Zacharias in 57, Elizabeth still hasn't had her baby yet. I mean, the babe leapt in her womb. So Zacharias is still dumb. He still can't talk when Mary makes his visit. Mary comes. She talks to Elizabeth. They see each other. They salute each other. The babe leaps in her womb. And Zacharias is probably sitting over in the corner. He still can't talk. He's still having God's judgment on his life, God's punishment, because he doubted what God wanted him to do. Mary didn't doubt. She submitted to what God wanted to do. You see the big difference between the two. Mary submitted. She was joyful. She was happy. Zacharias doubted. He was feeling God's punishment on his life. But how does this apply to us? And I know when I think about God's voice in my life, when I think about listening to God's voice, when I think about how God has spoken to me, these are things. These three things that right here, these three things, I struggle with. I sometimes forget when I'm in trials. But things to remember when you respond to God's voice: number one, God's all powerful. When you're in a trial and you're going through something and you don't know what God wants you to do, and you're seeking His will and you're doing something, and all of a sudden God tells you His will, and to you it seems supernatural. You think it's impossible. Like what he told Zacharias. Zacharias knew God was all powerful, but in that moment of fear, his faith wasn't as strong as what it probably would normally have been. He faltered a little bit. Because of it, he was punished. He forgot God was all powerful. And this is why Gabriel, the angel, showed Mary, who was a weaker Christian than Zacharias, showed Mary the proof of that God was all powerful. He showed Mary that Elizabeth was having a baby. And then afterwards, the angel didn't have to say it, but the angel said in verse 37, "But with God, all things are possible." The angel didn't have to say that to Mary. He had already told her what was going to happen. But the angel told Mary that for one reason: to grow her faith, to help her realize that she needed to submit to God. And you see right here, though, after Mary submitted to God, her faith grew even more. Zacharias' faith grew as well. But Mary's faith grew, and she was joyful about it. Number two, it is okay to ask God questions. People look at this passage and they say, oh, we can't ask God questions because look what happened to Zacharias. He got punished by God. But when we ask God questions, we need to make sure that they're in the right context. We need to make sure that we're asking God questions, not to prove God. We need to ask God questions because we want to understand more about it. Like, if God tells us to do something, we don't want to ask why. Because that's questioning if God's really speaking to us. We don't want to throw it back in our minds and think, hey, is this really God? Do I really want to do it? Can I really do this? We need to submit and just go on it that God can just help us, that God has all power to do anything and everything he wants, and that he can help us in anything that he asks us to do. God doesn't mind if we ask questions. In our Christian life, he wants us to ask questions. He wants us to not just do things blindly. He wants us to submit to him and to realize that he can do anything he wants. And then we see here, and then number three, God gives us things to grow our faith in him. When the angel spoke to Mary, he reminded Mary again of God's power, and he reminded her of Elizabeth and everything that was happening there. But then something else interested me. Zacharias asked for a sign. Zacharias got a sign. So if you, after Elizabeth has her baby and Zacharias' mouth is loosed, you know what Zacharias starts to do? He starts to sing praises to God. He starts to sing a song. One or two verses is about his son, and then the rest is about Mary's baby, Jesus. Zacharias right here is filled with joy after he can speak again. He sees his faith has grown. He sees his son sitting there, and he knows that God is going to also, Mary's baby is going to come later in 6 more months. And we see here that Zacharias, his faith grew as well. Now, these two people, their faith both grew, but they grew in different ways. One grew through punishment. One grew where he was punished and where he could have, I imagine, Elizabeth's pregnancy would have been a whole lot easier if Zacharias would have been able to speak. I mean, imagine that supernatural thing's going, and you would love to discuss it with Elizabeth. He would love to say, wow, I wonder what his name's going to be. And they start just even talking about the basic things. He can't talk. She can only do all the talking. And you see it here, that he would have probably loved to be able to take that 9 months and just be able to discuss their son, discuss what was going to happen. But he couldn't because he doubted. And God grew his faith even though he doubted. God grew his faith in the way he did, but he grew it through judgment. You see, Mary didn't doubt God. Mary asked for knowledge. Mary asked for a little bit more understanding what was going to happen. And when Mary asked her question the way she did, and when she asked for understanding, God grew her faith in a different way. God grew her faith a little bit. God grew her faith through Elizabeth and through what he said, and God grew her faith in a different way that didn't involve a physical punishment like Zacharias. You see, they both at the end, though, they were both singing. They were both joyful. They both had God's will in their life afterwards. Even though Zacharias did doubt, he still got his son. He still had his son. He still was able to spend the rest of his life with his son. But Mary, for those 9 months that Zacharias was done, Mary was able to speak. She was able to go along with her life. She was able to grow in her faith. And God gives us things to grow in our faith. But first, we have to step out. We have to submit to what he wants us to do. God doesn't ask us to do things just for us, just because he wants us to do them. He has a purpose and a reason for it. He had a purpose for John the Baptist being born when he did with Zacharias and Elizabeth. He had a reason for everything. But we got to remember that first, for his will to be done, we first have to submit to him. We first have to not doubt what he says. We got to remember that he is all powerful and that he can do anything and everything he wants to do, and that he loves us, and that he wouldn't do anything that wasn't in our best interest. But the big question is, how will you respond? Will you respond with submission or with doubt? It is hard. I know my flesh especially. When God asks me to do something, I want to second guess it straight away, whether or not it's really God or if it's just me thinking about it. And when God asks us to do something that we think is impossible, oh, my flesh really, oh, it starts popping up all different things. Oh, I didn't think about this before. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about what could have gone wrong there. And all these little things start popping up in our mind. The devil starts shooting doubts in our mind. But we got to remember, God is all powerful. God can do anything he wants to. God can do anything he wishes in our lives, with or without us. Really, God can do anything he wants to with or without us. But he wants to do it with us. But we first have to submit. We first have to be willing to let him work through us. And even though we might not understand everything, he will eventually help us understand what we don't understand. But and when, though we might not have a little faith when we might have only a little faith when we start, God will start growing our faith. As we step out, as we try, and as we try to do his will, God will grow our faith to where it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Until at the end, Mary's faith grew a lot. By the end of her pregnancy, I'm sure she understood fully. She may not understood fully what Jesus was and all Jesus was going to be, but she understood fully that God could do whatever he wanted to, especially if she submitted to him. Dead.
Amen. When he came to me,